I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, people? You're listening to the 2 Pro 1 Slow podcast, brought to you by Factory Image Racing. Check them out on Instagram at Factory Image Racing. They offer a huge range of hard parts, service parts, tools, and more.
Welcome back to episode 15, I do believe, and we've got a guest, Matt Jones, with us.
Special guest.
Special guest,
that
actually,
was a bit
yeah.
of a week intro to
Sorry,
this.
Special. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do then, because probably from having Matt on here, we're going to end up with some new people that listen to our show that are mountain bike fans.
We might as well all do and have
you
an
might
introduction.
As well introduce himself.
Yeah. So this is Billy. He rides bikes quite well.
Hello, Billy.
This
Hi,
is Tommy.
Billy.
He also Hi, rides Matt. Bikes quite well.
Hello, Tommy.
Billy. Hello, Matt. Billy and does enduro.
I'm Ed. I don't ride bikes very well.
I do enduro. Me and Tommy ride motorbikes as well. You just said bikes, didn't you?
Well, you ride all the bikes because you think you're a mountain biker. That's why we got Matt here to tell you actually you're not a mountain biker.
Just ruining my dreams. Now, I ride enduro, which has a headlight, and over a longer period of time. Thomas rides motocross,
has a headlight.
I've got my bike. I just go fast around in circles.
It's not really circles.
No, a different kind of circles.
Off-road NASCAR.
I sat with a chap who goes fast in circles today on an interview.
Who's that?
Ty.
Woofy.
Yeah, Woofy. We did an interview together at the NAC.
Woofy.
Woofy was there today. He wants to come ride the enduro track at Ed's house.
He'd beat you.
Bill, can you help Matt just with this mic? You might need it pulling a bit closer towards him.
You have to pretty much eat.
We have to.
You have to wear these. It's not that loud in here.
Well, we can turn you up. Can you hear?
I could hear with them out, with them off.
Yeah. Oh, you can take them off. You don't have to wear them.
I like it with it on. It makes it more of a special.
Just undo the thing for him, Bill, on the side.
No, I think it'd be
better with them off. And pull it up to your closer to you.
You did that, didn't you?
No.
There we go. Then you won't have to lean forward so much.
Maybe it's a seat in.
You've just done this once, Matt. Oh, I have to sit on these chairs and these fucking mics every single episode.
It's gnarly. Your back, isn't it?
Back's fucked. You think you're slouching and you give it all that and you back up and then you just
haven't you got, you've got a lever underneath
again.
You could lower yourself down.
You know what we should get? I know we've got a lovely desk, which was very nice. We need a sofa and yet the headphones with the microphone attached to them.
Yeah, that'd be so much better.
You could stay on the desk and me and Tom could just sit in the background or like an office chair.
Or like
at least.
A proper chair, like where you have a back on it.
Like an office
just
chair.
Anything with lumbar support. When he walked in, I said to Ed, God, he's tall, isn't he? Like he's taller than I thought. He's actually shrunk just because of the chair.
You have to slouch over it.
Two people today have come up to us and said, wow, you're taller than on the video. One said, come up to us and said, I love the vlog, but my goodness, you're tall. And then the other one just said, you're a big guy in person, aren't you? So
your shoes have got a bit of a heel today,
though.
6'2", I think. 188 centimetres.
I'm 6 foot, I think.
Seen his shoes?
Yeah,
I clocked him straight away from Lewis Hamilton.
Well, no, I took the piss out of his shoes a minute ago, bless him.
Furry gold things.
They're from my winter shoes, that's how they got fur, like, keep you warm.
Come on, let's have one off, let's have a quick look at
Run
it.
Run us through the gold zip while you talk about
now
your
they're smart shoes, he said.
They're my smart shoes.
They're fashion shoes.
They're fucking awful.
What brand are they? What sort of mate? Fucking heavy.
Yeah, it's quality.
They've got a gold zip on it, man.
Yeah, it's 24 carat, that. Giuseppe.
Giuseppe,
yeah. No budget spared on them.
Got a lot of fur in them.
Yeah, that's the appeal, to be honest, the fur.
Before we get on to all things Matt Jones, let's just have a little recap about your last week and a half, 2 weeks, Bill, because it's been entertaining from the WhatsApp
chat. Yeah, I'm sure it's been fucking hilarious for you lot, just getting further updates of another hospital or still no news or return to hospital, then food poisoning and then came home to do a race.
Now start at the start. Start from where it was all going so well in Spain and then
from the door. The initial downhill spiral.
Yeah.
Right, so just give you a bit of context as to where we were, what we're doing. I've been in Spain for a few weeks, tested for super enduro, got my bike feeling pretty good, suspension feeling good, team left. Stan went back to Italy. I got left to my own devices in Spain to train. Have you done now? I'm having another go at that.
No, that, and then he plays it.
Yeah, that'll help.
Now, this is an Instavid.
I've noticed. But is that, you want another attempt, or are you happy with just the two you've already done to put off?
No, this one's good.
Right. So anyway, left to my own devices in Spain, training super... Sorry. Super Enduro is going well. A few days testing. It started to rain in Barcelona, so there's a new indoor track opened in Madrid, which was like 6 hours away, which I thought we might as well go and ride at because we weren't going to ride in Barcelona because of the rain. Headed there, rode the night we got there, went pretty good. Did a seat bouncer with some tyres and put it on Instagram and got a load of views, so that was good. Next day, started...
Oh, then I watched that, and then Johnny done it way better, but you got your video out before Johnny.
Johnny didn't seat bounce it in his video.
Well, no, he just done it nice, send it...
Yeah, well, I was doing it standing up, but just the whole technical concept of it.
Did you say to him, please let me post mine first?
No, but...
Because if he had posted his before, it would have took the limelight off of your video.
Can you let him finish his story?
Yeah,
no, this is go a, back to Instagram fucking video.
Everyone was commenting on yours because they thought it was special.
Yeah, I will admit that. But some local Spanish guy did it 3 weeks earlier, to be honest. Who no one had
but
ever
just
heard
didn't
of.
Get the views. So then you felt like the first one still.
Nah, I didn't feel like the first one. If he's not going to be listening to this, but give him in his credit, some random Spanish guy I'd never heard of had done it.
Some fast Spaniards, even when you go to motocross.
What was I going to say? So anyway, the next day comes and Ryan did a couple of motors. Johnny was fucking around, wanted to change his tyre or something. So I said, I'd filmed the vlog while we were there. It still hasn't came out yet because it still hasn't had an ending, which you're going to find out about in a minute. Anyway, so he was fucking around changing his tyre. I said, I'll put my GoPro on and do a couple of laps for the vlog while I'm here. So doing a couple of half-arse laps, really, just for the vlog, trying to talk in a little bit, trying to show what the track was like. Got a little bit squirrely in the logs. Bear in mind, this is an indoor track, so it's in like a barn.
They're all like now, look.
Getting a little bit squirrely.
Instagram video.
Storza or a main?
Hey?
Story or main?
Neither yet.
Got a bit twisted up, clipped the side of the building, the door, rather hard, and cut my arm. Again, not particularly big, just I could tell it was quite deep, it hurt a little bit, but miraculously I was uninjured other than what appeared to be a superficial wound. So it
appeared is a key word.
Yeah, I'm just thinking this story's got an awful, I feel like I've been talking for about 10 minutes and there's an awful lot of it left. So anyway,
that's quite good. Like, normally it's a load of shit what you say, but this is actually quite interesting.
Ed's actually already told me the story 2 minutes after I met you, and he managed to pull it together in 90 seconds, and it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, speed it up.
Bill drags it.
Yeah, I'll speed it up a bit now. So anyway,
hit a door, got food poisoning.
Hit the door, ate dinner straight after hitting the door for overall. I ripped my radiator off and flattened my front pipe, so that was me done riding for the day anyway. And that was the last day we were there riding, so I thought, I'll eat lunch, and then I'll go to hospital, get some stitches, and all would be well. So we ate lunch, went to the first hospital, who we'd already called in advance to see if there was a doctor there that could stitches, and then they said yes. Waited there for an hour, and then the woman said, no, can't stitch it, you need an x-ray. I said, no, I don't think there's anything broken, just need stitched, just cut, no, need an x-ray. She gives a piece of paper, sent us to another hospital, and it's in like about an hour from Madrid, in middle of nowhere, like proper little ghosty towns. Not a single person in either hospital spoke English. I was literally communicating via Google Translate, which was thrill. Went to the next hospital. They started cleaning.
He's not sped this story up, has he?
Speed it. It's impossible for him to speed a story up.
They started cleaning it. Blood started squirting out of it.
See, we didn't need that. They
wouldn't stitch it. I don't really know why. But then I had to go to Italy the next day anyway to go to ECMA. So ended up, I stayed in Madrid, changed my flight, which was meant to be from Barcelona, to fly from Madrid the next day to Italy. Woke up the next morning with food poisoning, puking, shitting, just felt like I was going to die. Got dropped off at the airport, still hadn't had my arm stitched up with a big hole in it, also dying of food poisoning. Got to Italy, to the hotel, I was meant to go to a dinner with Aero, and died, passed out in the hotel room, didn't make it to the dinner, said, I can't attend this dinner, I feel so bad. Woke up the next morning to go and get stitches in my arm at a doctor I knew in Italy. He stitched us up, sent us on my way. I was meant to go to ECMA in the afternoon for an autograph signing. I was still too ill to even attend. I went to the team workshop and slept all day. So if anyone came to see us at ECMA, I do apologise. What are you laughing at?
Fucking hurry up. Get to the punchline.
But what even is the punchline?
There is no punchline. You missed
exactly.
Week.
So then anyway, I flew home. I was meant to fly to Germany.
I forgot what happened at the beginning. Yeah, so it that long. Like, I don't even know what happened in the story.
This
has
been a really bad... Anyway.
I feel like I've lived it with him. Yeah. And it is rough.
It's supposed to be about Matt, this podcast.
It was a rough week.
It was a rough week. Here, there and everywhere. In the end, nothing ended up happening. I flew back to the UK because I was supposed to be riding the tough one at the weekend, which was last weekend. Which I didn't think I was going to do at the time, because the next day I woke up, my arm was full of fluid and swelled up massive. I went to hospital, tried to get them to drain it. They wouldn't drain it. Didn't feel very well. Arm was massive. Ended up, woke up the Sunday morning, still ended up riding
the
tough
one. You were
still
in hospital at 10 o'clock, though, on Saturday night before the tough one, weren't you?
Yeah. About half seven, half 8 o'clock we left.
Just say 10.
10, 11. Barely out of sleep. I got back. Still ended up riding the tough one. I guess I thought my arm was fine, but I guess I just wasn't pushing particularly hard, because I then flew back to Spain on the Monday.
Knight nearly dusted you up, mate, of all the videos I've seen.
Yeah, he wasn't far off.
Now you're saying you weren't pushing.
Well, I didn't think I was until I flew back to Spain on the Monday. Ed dropped us off at the airport. Flew back to Spain Monday. Attempted to ride Super Enduro Tuesday and couldn't make a lap. Like, I had three attempts at riding. Had first attempt, got dressed, thought my arm's a bit stiff, but it was fine at the tough one. It's going to be fine out here. Come on the track, did a lap, missing all the obstacles, just doing the corners, jumped into the matrix, triple, hit the next double, and just my arm just collapsed to the handlebars, and it's, oh no, this isn't very good. I went back to the van, took my helmet off, and had a drink for a little bit. I think I've had some cold cream or biofreeze or something. I put a bit of that on my elbow, thought, right, it might be better.
Icy
now.
Hot.
Something like that, one of them. Put a bit of that on my arm. I had another go.
You should have put some Voltarol on it.
Did a different. The other matrix again. Tripled in. Did it the next double.
12 minutes into the story.
Oh no, it still hurts. No good. I went back to the van. Had some Haribos. Third attempt at riding. Still didn't make a lap. And thought, this is really bad. My arm's really sore, and I've got a Super Enduro World Round this weekend. So I went to the doctors. Who scanned it, well, did an ultrasound, and seen those two hematomas in my elbow, and it was back. So yeah, my back's, I've got an incredible hunch forward on.
You need going to for put the, your mic up.
You're going for, nah, but you're going for the backwards work. Approach. If you, this front one's all right, you might look like an idiot, but I'm not that bad.
Sometimes you just give up. It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you mean give up with this story or give up?
No, we're nearly there. We're nearly at the end of the story. Just hold tight on the story front. So I went to the doctor.
These mountain bikers watching are going to go, this bloke.
Yeah. We've got new fans, and all you've done is
drivel. Can I just jump
on?
The one thing that took my interest, what's the tough one?
So the tough one, that's
there you go, Matt. You've asked a question. Now another 10 minutes will be gone.
I get what Super Enduro is, I think. What's the tough one?
The tough one is extreme enduro, so like an outdoor race in Wales. It's one of the original kind of, I was going to say British races, but like original races, full stop, really. It's been around like 15 years.
Is it hard? Really hard?
It's pretty tough.
It's not as...
But, you know, it could be
it's not like as extreme as some
of them. It's not as extreme as some of them. Ed would get round. Right. It's hard to... Like, in a multi-lap race or whatever, it gets slippy. I think you would both get round a lap, to be honest.
Really?
Obviously, it's been going... It's a pretty similar track for the last 15 years, and you think about bikes and tyres and how everything's evolved in 15 years. Like, but it's still difficult. But again, it's not definitely not the hardest race, but... But it's quite an iconic race and quite a big one in England, so...
Got it?
Yeah. Right, so here we go.
No.
What we're going to do is we're going to time him. You've got 2 minutes to finish this story.
Oh, no, well, that's...
And then what, ad break?
I'm not...
Yeah, we might as well.
I'm not going to operate under such pressures. I'm just going to go at my own pace.
Quick, you're 3 seconds in.
Where did I get up to? I went to see the doctor. He said, come back and see another doctor tomorrow morning. Came back to see another doctor the next morning. And he said, come back tonight and you need surgery to have it drained. The hematomas cut out your arm. There's an infection as well, which we're going to cut out, and something else to my elbow. So I went back on the Wednesday night, had the operation, had to stay in hospital on the drip overnight so I could have lots of antibiotics on a drip. They left a pipe in it as well, so I had to stay in hospital all day Thursday until Thursday night when they could remove the pipe. So that meant I missed my flight to Poland, so then I had to fly to another airport, which was 4 hours away from the arena on Friday morning. Then I had to get my IACAR. I drove 4 hours to the arena Friday night. did the race on Saturday and ended up winning all three races and was very happy. And that brings us to the present day.
Yeah, that was the best bit. That
51
was good,
seconds you wrapped that bit up.
Yeah, that was good at the end.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it's the final crescendo.
Maybe you should have performed under pressure from the start.
Yeah, you should have.
I feel like such an idiot for the last 10 minutes.
That was good. Well done.
And you can download that entire story on your e-readers at home.
That was good. You had a tough week, I'll give you that. And then
a drama filled couple of weeks, but anyway, hopefully I'm near the end of it.
And you probably hadn't tanked 15 grand in that week.
I fucking wish. Yeah, with the fucking missed flight surgeries and the lot.
Oh yeah, you spent a bit.
I'm struggling to fucking break even at this rate.
Yeah,
but we're leading the championship, so that's all that matters.
No, you performed well. I had a tough week. Yeah, you had a tough week. I spent £7 on his race to watch it.
£7?
Yeah, I spent £7 on his race. And I missed the first race because I was debating spending the £7. I was like, Ed had bought it. And I said, Ed, send me a login. And he's like, nah.
Ed wasn't risking being kicked off.
No, I tried it on my phone. And it booted me off my laptop. So then I thought, no, I'm not.
So I missed Super Pole, missed race one. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy it. And anyway, got on about 5 minutes before his second race. And £7 well spent. I didn't even watch the third race because I thought I'd had my money's worth.
Yeah, second race was, it was horrendous, but I'd imagine if you were watching
just
it
for
home.
A quick one that for anyone, our new mountain bike fans that have now listened to all that drivel, Bill raced a race that's 7 minutes long.
Yeah, 6 minutes plus a lap.
He started last, crashed three times and still won it, so it's quite entertaining.
No way.
More than three times. But
in a 7 minute race, just, you still won.
Yeah, just even for the enduro guys. Super enduro is very it's very exciting. Especially the second race, because so you do qualify in top seven, go on the front row for the first race and the last race, but the second race you have to start on the back row. So like the slowest qualified set off first.
Oh yeah, so it'd be like poleman goes.
So
last.
I was last to the grid for the second race.
More exciting.
And so like the first lap's just carnage, second lap it filters for a little bit, then by the third lap the race kind of starts, but obviously then half the race is over, so it's like a drama for the last few laps. And I remember like going up the stairs on the second lap, Colton was in the lead, and then it was like me, Johnny, Manny, Taddy, all going up the stairs together, and I was thinking this is going to be a good race to watch. I remember like that was actually going through my head.
First lap you actually took it surprisingly easy.
Yeah, that's I like to start 3 seconds after everyone else on the second row start, and I just
But then even the first lap, I counted you like eighth, and then all of a sudden, bang!
I stalled it in the rocks and fell off the side of the rocks.
Oh, is that where you come around still far back?
And I was still like last, but second race always throws up the drama, and then I got my finger out and I rode very good in the last race.
Let's wrap this show up then.
Yeah, there we go. That's my week. Yeah.
Do you have teammates in the same race?
Yeah. So
I don't know a lot about it, guys.
Yeah, me and Colton, who's my teammate, he was in second until the second last corner. Well,
how much do you support each other, like, strategy? Like F1?
No strategy.
As he punted him off
the
track.
Do you hate him?
No. No, this...
You don't like many of them. And actually, you've got friends
in that. That's bullshit. Enduro is actually a very friendly atmosphere in terms of the paddock
life. Do you know what I will say, which I thought was quite good? You were all on the podium, and two of you waited for the other person to open a champagne so you could all spray them together.
Yeah, that was synchronized. Quite nice. It always looked better when everyone's doing it together on a podium, didn't it? When one person blows the load first, and then one comes late, and then one can't even get his poppies laid, it's just a shit show, isn't it? So,
yeah, no.
Not really. There's not really too much animosity amongst the paddock. Even not teammates are kind of friends. And
let's change the subject now. Yeah. What's it like in the mountain bike world for animosity?
I would love to say it's carnage, but it's pretty good. Everyone gets on. Because it's not a race either. Everyone starts and finishes on their own, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's fascinating me about racing. I can't imagine that you can get on with everyone.
No, you don't get on with everyone.
I look at Verstappen and Hamilton right now. They look like they can't even think for hating each other that much.
Tommy had that with Jeffrey Erlins. They used to not talk.
Because you're actually against that person there and then. Like well, I'm sure downhill racing and mountain biking's like it too. Well, no, even they don't race. Downhill's not a race. It's a time trial.
Yeah.
No, and when they get to the bottom, they hug each other and high five.
Yeah, because they've still led their own race. But yeah, you guys can't do your own race.
Problem is in ours.
The variables out there are everyone else.
If someone hit someone one time or cut them up and then he's like... And
they get a bit upset about passing. If you put dirty passes on and get known for being a dirty passer, then they'd get the arse.
Yeah, I get it.
But even enduro doesn't... I can't think of an intense rivalry in it. For some reason, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, you are right.
And especially in Super Enduro, smashing into each other left, right and centre.
So, Matt, a lot of questions I got. We did do a thing online, but I will do some of them later. But one of the ones that was quite common was sort of, how did you get into mountain biking from, or becoming pro, really? How did you get into it?
Get into the sport or like become pro?
I guess I guess you've got to get into it to become pro. Yeah. So let's start at the start.
Right. Big part of it. I've got a twin brother. You've met him, Jono. Yeah. Jono Jones. So
sound one.
Yeah, he's all right. You couldn't afford him today, but no. He runs his own QVC channel. I know you guys plug and sell a lot of stuff, but he's into that too. We just discovered jumps in the woods. Actually, alongside my parents buying us BMXs and taking us to a BMX race. We only did that once. Found mountain bike jumps in the woods that people were building at Woburn. You've been to Woburn?
Never.
It's pretty cool. It's like an OG UK spot. It's just built by locals. It's rad. And that was luckily a mile from our house, so we were pretty hooked. And then went there weekends. My mum would sit on a tree stump reading a newspaper and just let us crack on. We'd probably 9 or 10. And then as we got older, school holidays come around, you can pedal there. And we just didn't give up. But the funny thing is, neither of us knew it was a sport, really. It's like enjoying playing in the woods outside your house or in the garden or a tree you might like to climb. It was just something that was there that we enjoyed. And then discovered mountain bike movies, magazines, and you realise it's a bit more of a thing. But it never was like anything more than a hobby.
You were competed though first. Is that how you became pro, really? Through a competition side of it?
Four cross racing, which is like mountain bike equivalent of BMX track racing. There's four people, hence the four cross. We did it for a couple of years. That was rad.
That doesn't really happen anymore, does it? I went to watch the downhill at Fort William a few times, and that was always it was always sick to watch. But
there's a four cross track at Chicksands,
now I think about it, you don't see any of that anymore, really.
It's still there but it's not picked up like
downhillers, and everyone used to do it as well on a night time, wouldn't they, before the World Cup.
They race on the same
it's like
four people at once down a track. It's jumpy. It's, do you know, BMX racing.
It's like a mix between mountain bikes and BMX.
No, I actually think that's a bit you'd enjoy that.
That's fully carnage. That's where I like got the fascination for the elbows and all the taking people out, because it was rife. It's the only taste I've ever had of that. My brother raced downhill. I liked the jumps in the four cross tracks. I got a dirt jump bike. Woburn was big for dirt jumps and got into that. And then I guess during GCSEs, A levels, got a bit better at it, did some comps, flew to Austria, Vienna it was called, Vienna Air King, and got into the finals. So we were the top 10 riders in the world, which was mad.
Is this sort of before you were a household name, if you like?
Oh, I was like, no one.
How old were you at this point?
17, first comp, proper one.
Invited, or you just entered? Or
no, you can enter, you just turn up, pay like 60 euros.
So you paid, got into the final.
And it's slope style, is this? Or dirt jumps?
Well, it is slope style, but it wasn't like down a mountain, like slope style courses, it was four jumps in a row with a step down. I just did pre-qualifying because I wasn't good enough to be in the normal qualifying lot. Got won that, then did qualifying, got 10th, got into finals and came 10th. Out of 12. 12 of us, so I was second last, but there was good probably 100 riders that had to go down to that number, and that felt good because it was all the people I'd watched on the telly.
Yeah,
and then my name was called up after one of theirs, dropped in,
cool,
did a slightly worse run and got to be amongst it.
And then I'm guessing that opened up doors, or did that then make you want to go and enter more stuff?
I think I won like 300 euros and I used that to go to the next one in Austria, which was back there again 2 weeks later, and then deferred my uni place. I was going to go and do mechanical engineering at uni. Pushed that back a year. Went to as many comps as I could. Got a few contracts that helped me pay flights. That was a big thing. Remember, it all starts with travel budget. Before you make money from sport, they like get you there to the events. So I made the most of that. Pushed the uni place back another year. And by then, I kind of had a settled. Red Bull came on board that year. That changed everything.
So 2 years in, you was Red Bull?
Yeah.
2 years from your first comp.
Of competition.
Wow. And Red Bull deals are pretty lucrative and like few and far between. That was huge. A pretty big deal.
Yeah, but in the main thing was like all this. The funny thing is, I got sponsored by Red Bull at Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Yep.
Dougie Lampkin gave my helmet, actually. Pretty cool, yeah.
You're a big fan of Doug, aren't you?
Tommy, you'll probably need to explain who that is.
No, he's
a Charles man, though.
I love him, he's the best.
Yeah. I know Dougie.
Yeah, Dougie's mint.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's funny.
And I shattered my wrist the next day, and I hadn't like organised a contract or anything. I'd just sort of cutting around in the helmet for 24 hours, living the dream. And then I didn't tell him, I was so scared. I drove home. I remember doing a hill start on a hill, holding the handbrake up with a shattered wrist. It was like, it was the worst. There was no other way to pull away. I was almost sick in my mouth. I pretty much was sick. Went to hospital that night. It was shattered. And then I like really reluctantly called them the next day because they said if I wanted surgery, it'd be a good month wait through the NHS. And Red Bull actually
Yeah, they can
sent
help.
Me straight up to Manchester. I was in theatre like within 36 hours, and really the best hand surgeon in the world, felt like.
Yeah.
So I think my first year deal was a new wrist.
That's what they paid for.
That stuff like that, though, like, it's just so much easier. Like, I know, obviously, like with my elbow last week, I couldn't get to the right person in England, and it just drives you fucking mental. But then when you do find the right person, or you get sent to the right place, where it just happens.
Yeah, it's the
like,
best thing in the world.
Oh, it's just so amazing. Like, the doctor who ended up doing it in Spain is like, I've now got him on WhatsApp, and I, like, as soon as I won, sent him a picture and just saying thank you. Like, I'm just licking his ass so bad, because they're just so useful to have them, especially like that kind of connection. That just right. It just happens. It makes your life so much easier.
Especially you was probably thinking, damn, that's it. I've just got my chance, and I've fucked it straight away.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I was so nervous. I thought they could take this off me.
Yeah, that's it now. They're
such a, like, rad brand, they wouldn't have done. But when you live in that, you think,
yeah, in the moment,
why would they keep sponsoring? Like, it's halfway through the season, my biggest year yet. They've backed me as being on the up, and this will probably be it for the rest of the year. Yeah. So I was terrified. But yeah, I've been on both sides. Like, that felt so good, having that support for the injury, because I remember, like, when I was younger, I snapped my ankle, and I was well unlucky with the care. I got put in a cast with my ankle like out like a rudder, and even now it's never been.
You go into hospital and you say, "How did you do it?" Oh, I crashed my bike. They just okay. Well, just rest it for 6 weeks. It'll probably be all right.
Yeah,
ice it, elevate it.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah,
nightmare.
Ed's probably not actually.
No, I don't do anything.
Yeah, you haven't done many injuries, have you?
No, don't say that. I've got to go ride tomorrow.
He goes to the hospital for the minutest of injuries.
No, I've been to hospital three times for crashing my bike.
And they always send you back and just go bruising.
No, collarbone twice.
No, Fat Cats. The last one at Fat Cats.
Oh, I thought that was broken. It wasn't.
What was it?
I'd hurt my shoulder, but I didn't break it.
Oh. To be fair, I know about shoulder injuries. They can go on for a long time. And you think they're worse than what they are.
Start with me. So, yeah, so now you are... Wait, I'm trying to work that out. So you would have been 19 when you picked up the Red Bull deal?
18.
Yeah. And you've been Red Bull ever since?
Yeah.
And you are now 27.
So I'll be going into my ninth year, yeah. Cool. Which is cool.
When did you stop competing and start the journey of YouTube?
What was the transition? Was it...
What I think with the Red Bull thing we've just said then is... Might as well follow on from that, because that's give you a massive opportunity to do some pretty cool...
Gave me wings, Edward.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did.
No, but you did like a pretty cool... Red Bull series, didn't you, recently?
Yeah, that Design and Conquer last year.
And a first world trick. What do you call it? World's first.
You just missed about 6 years of his life out there.
I know, but what I was... Red Bull to Red Bull.
Competitions, like learning new tricks on my own. You feel like a recluse being a competition rider.
And then you'd started YouTube with competitions?
Yeah, a little bit. There was a year where I did both. Just filmed like the journey along the way. A lot of people even compete wearing GoPros now, which I think is mad. But you guys race with a camera on, don't you?
Yeah, Oliver, because...
You got loads of kit on. You don't know about a GoPro. When you
You're not allowed them on your helmets. It's
GoPro's got banned, controversial. On helmets for factory KTM.
Not allowed on my helmets. But we have still had them on chest, which is also... The fact it's not allowed on your helmet, but it's allowed on your chest is a bit...
Questionable,
but I'm not in charge. If it was up to me, I'd be back on the helmet, but I'm not wounded. We'll not worry about that. That could be another bit of waffle for 20 minutes that we don't need.
Do you like filming and stuff, or do you see it as a task? I'm well into it.
No, I don't at all. Like, we started vlogging. I'd wanted to do it for years and years.
Well, Matt is the reason. Matt pushed me into it,
but I remember like years and like, yeah, I used to just sit in school and watch shit. Like, remember Emporo and that?
I used to just sit in school and watch Emporo
and like the Athens had a web. What did it used to be called?
Webisodes.
Was it a web
they
series?
Were the first. I remember saying this about a month ago to a mate. That the Athertons, yeah.
The Atherton Project, Brandon Semenuk had one also.
Life Behind Bars.
Yeah, I used to, Brandon Semenuk's one I used to just watch on repeat, and like, I was probably like 12, 13 at the time of them. And like, since that, it had been in my mind since then that like YouTube and just following, I just felt like it would work. And then I'd had a few goes at doing it various times over the years. Like, I'm going to do a vlog today. You're like laid in bed the night before, but bigging yourself up. I'm going to vlog today. I'm going to video everything. And then you wake up and go...
Someone presses record. You go...
You don't even get to the point where like... You get your phone or you get your camera or the GoPro and you turn it around and you go... no, I'll not do it. And then another year goes by and you still haven't done it. And then someone else has started to do it and you're watching another one and like...
And you gutted it. I'd remember that. I remember saying, I'm going to start YouTube now. I did two episodes, gave up because they didn't do very well. For some reason, you have this perception of how many views you might get.
Yeah, you think 100,000 first time, no problem. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I
regret that.
It's just such... For me, it was such a difficult... jump to actually start to do it, and like I said, I'd watched it for so long. I like watch like Casey Neistat videos, shit like that. I've been watching them since I was a kid, and like, so I've actually wanted to do it and like understood it and kind of, yeah, I wanted to do it for so long, but it took Ed just saying, you need to do it. And then eventually we got to like the trap build where we're like, Ed did them all to start off with, to be honest. Like,
one up here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ultimate goal, Ed, building stuff.
Ed did them all.
It was literally because of your lockdown videos.
Yeah well, you
was like, was well, we need to... That I sort of watched yours and obviously speaking to you and then...
Everyone the watched comments, them. Everyone there was nothing was like, else to do, Ed.
There was a bit of a project to do.
And we were I was hoping it. Some people watched it because they actually enjoyed it and looked forward to it. If you had nothing better to do...
Yeah, that come out very bad.
I get it. Did you not buy those trainers last year in lockdown? Was that a mad one? first time I heard of you was coming here. It's funny you said about YouTube through me. I honestly like hadn't heard of you and came here to ride pit bikes with Ed, and you'd just slotted that giant telegraph pole in the ground.
Yeah.
Looked like a 40-foot boner coming out of the earth.
Yeah.
And it intrigued me. And he said, my mate's going to jump off that, so, and I'm on a tyre.
It's pretty mad.
If you don't ride motorbikes, you can't fathom that that's possible.
So it all kind of come about, and you give Ed the push, and then Ed was giving us the push, and then I'm very pleased.
Our viewers should thank Matt, really, because that's the reason Tommy vlogs and Billy vlogs, all because of you, Matt.
Yeah,
I was even my more reluctant to start.
Yeah, this is why he's come. We haven't had to pay him to come on this podcast now.
We're just going to lick his ass for an hour.
Yeah, we're going to plug Matt as well, because Matt is potentially going to do your own podcast, aren't you?
I'd like to, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Have you been on many podcasts?
No, actually. Probably second one ever.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It's the most kit, too.
Most kit?
Yeah, you've got a lot of kit to make this happen, haven't you?
Yeah, three cameras, a load of stuff.
Massive lack of
chairs. We just lack on chairs.
Yeah, chairs is not too good. Yeah.
Any chair sponsors?
Yeah, just do this all episode.
Feels like I'm sat on a trestle, does it? You? Like with absolutely nothing for the back.
It's hard to know what the best solution for the chair would be.
My chair's absolutely great, but no one can try it, otherwise you'll all moan. I've give you a good chair.
Yeah, mine, it's just the back's not quite enough.
There's something there, you could crack it over.
Yeah, my chair's better than yours.
The problem is if we had comfortable chairs, they'd take up far too much space in here as well, like for the storage for the rest of the time.
We'll have to get a studio.
Well, we're going to have a studio, but you've...
Made it your office.
Yeah, you've made it your office.
They need one of them, they're essential.
Yeah, they are.
What about swings?
Swings?
You hung them from the ceiling, put swing chairs, and then you could... put them back up on the ceiling. When you're done, they take up no space, so everyone would just be hanging from ropes.
I don't know. It's extravagant.
Yeah, I was going to say that's took some fathoming, didn't you?
Yeah,
hang them from there. Look.
Good storage solution.
We'll figure something out. When you tune back in the new year and we're all sat on the swings and they fall off, then you'll know why.
Wonderful.
I forgot where we were.
When Matt said he started YouTube, competing, doing them both, and then YouTube took over. You got bored of competing, or you'd seen the light, or how did the changeover go?
Because you're quite young to stop competing.
Yeah. I was never a massive fan of comps. The pressure was hard.
Used to get the buttery fly stomachs? Because that's what I struggle with bad.
Sometimes I liked it. When you felt like you could put a good run together, it was like... you could use it to your advantage. It's quite a good feeling.
Yeah, no, there is
you could definitely
time.
Turn your fear off with it. Adrenaline. It's quite cool. You can shut everything off.
Okay. That scares the shit out of me.
You put the camera on Ed and that's enough for him to crumble.
Yeah, he can't live any pressure. He could do everything 10 times in a row and you go, go on, Ed. And then he just goes, and that's it. You just can't do it.
No, I'm not very good under pressure.
Even if we do lap times around the minibike track.
It just drops 3 seconds as soon as...
It's just the same as us.
Crash. I'll just crash.
Put the timer on him, crash.
Bless him.
Some people can take the pressure, some come.
No, I'm not. I'm not very good in the kitchen, as they say.
Do they?
Maybe, I don't know.
I've never heard that.
I do also feel under immense pressure in the kitchen, though, so.
Do they? I don't.
Yeah, because you don't go in it.
No, I do. Yeah, so you stopped competing quite young, but...
From an outside point looking in, is there much money in mountain bike competitions?
Yeah, the prize money, yeah.
Is there?
Red Bull Rampage is $70,000.
Wow.
Yeah, for first. Then it's seconds like 10.
Oh, we're definitely going to clip that bit and put that as a 1 minute clip because that'd be a lovely thumbnail in a bit.
That'd be a good Instagram.
Crankworks Whist has $25,000 Canadian dollars. I've never won either of them, by the way. Most I won was I won $8,000 in America at Colorado Free Ride Festival, which used to be a Crankworks. That was cool. All in cash, too. When it's cash, it's cool. When you fly home with it in your wallet.
Yeah, nice. It's cool. Any sort of cash is good.
The first one I won all right money at was 26 Tricks in Leogang in 2012, I think. Year before I got sponsored by Red Bull. I think it was that year. And that was €2,000, massive, great, big plasterboard check. It was the coolest thing ever. And I remember thinking, I'm going to have this wad of cash in my pocket because $2,000 must be
100
notes or 500 notes. They gave me 4 notes and I was like, really gutted about it. And I remember going to the bar because there's an unwritten rule. We have to spend 10% of your prize money at the bar on everyone. So I was like, all right, I'll buy a €200 round. And they didn't accept it, yeah.
I remember I won my first ever... international race was Alès Trême in France, and I got a massive check for, I think it was €150, and it was like the same size check as Johnny, I think, won $10,000 or $8,000.
Yeah, huge check.
The checks were the same size, and I've still got the check now.
Yeah, me too.
It says €150 on it, and it just still makes you smile every time I see it.
I've got a check with £80 written on it, and it's massive. It's cool though, isn't it?
Yeah, I love looking at it. I just think, wow, that was... And then...
That was more money than I had in the bank when I won that $2,000. So I had 4 notes that was worth more than my net worth.
And you was on the piss by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it was great.
So you were just worried you were going to pull out your pocket.
Lose a lot.
Brilliant times. Great memories.
When you was competing then, so you'd sort of do all of that, then you said you started picking up YouTube. When did you sort of find the switch was coming between it's time to, I don't know whether you can say retire. Would you call it a retirement from...
No, I still want to go back to comps, definitely.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was actually going to be one of my questions.
Yeah, I've got massive itch for it again.
Have you?
Yeah. I don't think I'll do like the full... What it was I had a string of bad luck with punctures and crashing in comps, but it was where it was going home and having to focus like good 10 weeks between those events on the next one, training on my own. You, like I said earlier, you become a recluse. You don't post anything really. You're working on tricks you don't want anyone to know about.
Yeah, that's a bit different to our world, isn't it? The secretive side of it, like what you're going to bring to the next one.
And then you fly there, get blown by the wind on the first jump, blow your tire out, and you kind of then feel like those 10 weeks were wasted. Yeah. Whereas then a year went by, and I spent those 10 weeks at my compound disclosing what I was doing all my tricks, filming it, making videos. And then win, lose, or draw the event, I could have had the same result. But I gained so much in those 10 weeks by filming it.
Yeah.
And you could do both, but you can't spread yourself too thin if you want to. I feel like I have. I've done so many things and like tried to diversify as much as I can. Like, I guess being a bit career-minded, probably. But, yeah, the guys who kind of only do 3 comps a year now, I don't miss just being invisible and risk it, like having so much pressure on that day.
Yeah, and doing something in a comp that's... You're trying to do something so big.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And you might not even get to the jump. Like, let's say you're saving your banger that you've been working on for the last jump. You might not even get there. And then how long do you keep it in your back pocket for? That's heartbreaking when
someone else
could do it 6 months ago. I didn't get my chance.
Bobs it out. Mm.
Yeah, it's funny that freestyle sports.
Is it ever like where you've worked on it for so long, like 10 weeks or whatever, and like the week before the comp, some kid on Instagram just bobs out the same trick and you're just like, oh, well, that's 10 weeks down the shitter for some kid who's not in the comp, never done a comp in his life, but he's busy going viral for the trick that you've just spent 2 months on.
That project I did last year, Red Bull, Design and Conquer, one of the tricks I did in it was that running gainer where I hold the seat and the bars, like not on the bike, ran off a drop and did a running backflip, got on. The 6 months working up to that and filming it, and I'd already shot it, I'd landed it. I remember going to a dirt jump spot and these guys saying, oh, have you seen that French kid?
The Commensal guy.
Yeah, they said, you've seen his new video. Who was it? The video wasn't out. Someone who worked at Monster said, oh, we've heard that Paul Cordoak's on this new trick. And I was like, right, what is it? He's like, oh, he sort of runs off a drop with his bike. And I was like, you what? What does he do? How did it look? Have you seen it? Like, describe it. What was it like? And I was thinking, he's done it. And when's his video coming out?
Can't even imagine the feeling.
He did a similar thing, but forwards, right? Yeah forwards. But I remember thinking, oh, that'd suck.
If he's done...
Filmed a whole series about it, no one having done it, and I had to work out all the steps. But he's rad.
So
yeah, he does.
I remember speaking to you during that, and I think it was pretty well documented. That sort of dragged on for a lot longer than it needed to, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it was like months and months, and you filmed it all over the place. And so, you must have had to wait.
Yeah.
Like,
And then I land that backflip to front flip on those posts. I started shooting it in August, landed it midway through November last year. And they didn't bring out the video till middle of January. And I knew no one was going to do that because it took me, probably the most qualified to do that because I'd already done the flip bit a few years before.
Mm.
But it took me, we filmed nearly 500 attempts of that.
Wow, and you landed it once?
Yeah, I will never do that again, no way.
Why, because it's just too hard?
It will take another 500 goes.
Oh, it's that. Like,
yeah, I didn't
once
get better
it
at it. I just, the odds are so slim. The flip, the getting the backflip bit right is like every 50 goes.
Yeah, I happened to watch that last week. The whole, it's like a 30 minute.
Yeah,
I watched it. Yeah,
I might try it again, but I have to give it 6 months. I think that you'd probably land two a year if you'd made it your full time job.
Was you pretty black and blue after that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, I was watching.
Bruised things to shit.
Yeah, sore. Good feeling though.
Yeah, no doubt.
Feeling ever. Actually, I'll remember.
Has anyone done it that you know of since, or even attempted to do it?
It's a lot of setup, though, isn't it? No. To have the two posts and shit like that. Like,
yeah, anyone could.
You'd have to go out and say, like,
it's
a bit of
like
a project to just say, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, it's a circus trick, isn't it? It's not like a free normal jump where you try it randomly.
You never find it in the woods.
Never find it in the woods.
No, but you wouldn't get, you'd got to build it.
Yeah. That's where the sport's gone to now. If you want to come up with a cool trick, you're never going to do it on a conventional jump.
You've got to make it. It's pretty similar in motocross because like they started making these wacky lips that push you into a front flip.
Yeah, that's true.
Quarter pipe now is just the most biggest ridiculous idea ever. Whoever come up with that?
Yeah, it's like freestyle motocross.
Yeah, well, now they're flaring it, though, aren't they? As well.
Yeah, they've gone down a different route too. You're right.
Colton was actually saying we were talking about the quarter pipe because Kai Hussey was there, and he was just asking him if he ever wanted to hit it, and he's just saying, nope, no way. And Colton was saying, at the quarter pipe where Tyler Bowman's been practicing, it is at some ranch where they all used to ride and stuff. And him and Taylor Robert used to use, like, their landing for the quarter pipe is like an oververt, and they used to just drop off it, like ride off it sideways and think it was cool, like back in the day. Like, that was the thing, to just drop off it, and it's the landing off the quarter pipe where they've just been 60 foot in the air. And nice, like nice. That's like Colton and Taylor Robert, and like everyone knows how skillful them two are riding a bike. And that was the thing. They used to just drop off the edge and ride down it.
Fuck that.
And now they're landing from fucking 60 foot in the air, however high they go down it.
That's mad, isn't
mad.
It?
Mad.
Kai does.
Yeah, his stoppy.
He jumps and then he's got like a forklift. What's that thing?
Scissor lift.
And then he knocks the front wheel on the scissor lift. So he jumps
into a front flip.
Yeah.
Onto the front wheel, and then probably people do it in mountain bike as well, or not?
Not like that. We don't run front brakes. But as you're saying, he'll grab a handful of front brake in a stoppy on a scissor lift, and it'll turn
like
into a front
just
flip.
Normal
no, he just
size,
knocks it.
Yeah, normal
so
size.
He jumps
like
to there, and then
freestyle jump, and then and spins.
He don't like endo off. He just.
It's like a bonk almost.
Bonked. Just keep bonking that mic. It's nice, that. It sounds good in the headphones.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, folks. Trying to explain something.
Why don't you draw it out? You've got a notepad in front of you.
Let's
before
see.
He sat down,
I was
going to
say his merch logo.
I don't want to tell people.
He said,
really,
logo.
Really
he
good.
Said before we started, throw me a.
There's Billy's.
That was, we did that
and
one.
As you can see,
turn around,
come
Bill.
To life, look.
Oh, it exists.
Yeah.
Oh, still not good
started.
For the camera.
The wrong
Tommy's
week.
Is
I know mine too.
Spectacular.
There you go. Look, Bill's.
Talk everyone through your new logo.
Bill's merch. Is
he's drawn it twice.
100.
This will be available when this comes out. Probably.
Hold up, Bill.
So
this might be available
buy it,
soon.
It's on the Kex website.
And then there's the 100 upside down, sort of back to front, and then that's the zeros, you see. Trying to make it look like a bike.
It looks like Alfie's drawn it.
Yeah, no, it's not the best. But there's Billy's drawings that have come to life. So this is sort of where it all happens.
Proof that something can become of it.
That's it. It's just big.
Where's
figures.
It gone? The milk float you drew?
Oh no, I showed him.
milk.
He's flipped the one too. So it's not even a normal one.
No, flipped it.
I don't think that's got legs, I'm not going to lie. I like the fact that you've had a creative spell and you want to do something though. That's an improvement.
No, what it's he's hard, done is it? He's seen you unload some dough into some outfits. And
I want some T-shirts.
Yeah, I want good ones,
like Billy's, but I just don't can't think of them.
His has got an E, because his name's Bolt, and he's Bolt. It's just an easy design.
Easy.
Mine's Searle. What can you do with that?
A squirrel?
Squirrel.
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 Tommy Squirrel?
Timmy Soil, I reckon you should be called.
No, it's all been thrown about.
Mong. Useless 100's Mong.
A cool number, though.
Yeah, you can do a lot with 100.
Yeah.
Do something like a couple of Josh Hansen's logos.
Well,
his are quite
just
good.
Just 100. Yeah, I've already done that 10 years ago.
Mountain bikers don't. Do they stick with numbers? If you get a race number? Race,
yeah. Well, no.
No, not even the downhillers are
no,
numbers.
No, because it's your UCI ranking.
Yeah. Oh, right. So it changes.
You race with where you are ranked.
Can't even think.
I might be wrong, but that's how I remember.
I can't even think of one that's kind of branded around a number.
Yeah. Or just you. Yeah. How does it work in motocross? They run a red plate.
Yeah, championship leader or previous.
That's a cool thing. Winner.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I was a bit pissed off my bike didn't have a red plate this weekend.
You have one next time.
Next one
mate.
It will have, but you I think it should have already had it from winning the last championship.
I think that's normally how they start in Supercross, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it should have had a red plate. Because they always have the one bike has
you
a
didn't
red plate.
Run, you didn't run number one,
nah,
did you?
Not about the number one, and I'm 57.
You've won 3 world titles and you never run it. Would you never run the one?
No, I prefer 57.
Especially now you got merch.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck? We ain't going to print more t-shirts.
Maybe a one-off one when you win, like the Kex.
To be fair, the last run of merch, the championship t-shirt, I actually did really, I really like that. Just the whole concept of it and the missing round one. And
it was good.
Cross outlined on the back of them like a...
Good idea from me, that, wasn't it?
That was my idea.
Fuck it off.
Fucking
it?
Was. The rounds on the back with the cross out.
Yeah. All right, mate.
My idea.
Right.
I'm not having you. You're not having that. That was my idea.
Whose idea was the forgotten round?
That was your. I'm on about the t-shirt.
I said shop BB 57, spray it on the pipes, then you can have some merch. I'll give you
the t-shirt design. I'm on about the t-shirt right, design. Okay. Right. I admit you were the rest.
Yeah. Cool.
come on, guys. Come
on. I'm gonna pull on the. On the Instagram page, 2Pro1Slow now, because we did some questions. There's actually loads of questions. So,
I'm not supposed to do a giveaway in this one.
We are doing a Factory Image Racing giveaway right at the end.
All right, making them wait.
Mm. For the mountain bikers, though, I'm not really sure that they're going to want a gazebo or...
Well, I'm sure there's going to be...
A gazebo, actually.
I'm sure there's still going to be some motorbike listeners as, like...
Yeah, our locals will be here.
The locals. Big well,
I reckon we'll
locals.
Do a gazebo, because that could come in handy for both sports.
Oh, yeah.
Or a pit mat.
Nah.
What would you prefer gazebo. As a mountain biker, a pit mat or a gazebo?
I'd take the gazebo all day.
Right, well, gazebo up. And then they can put it up at your trails and keep yourself dry because you're like digging holes and stuff. That's another thing that you're all mad for, isn't it?
Shovels.
Matt likes a shovel. He's never heard of a digger.
Big job on a digger, innit?
Mm.
At the superintendent track the other week, it was wet one day and we made one rut and fuck me, I was done in after it.
With a shovel?
It was just like swamped, so I thought, oh. And it's quite hard ground anyway. I thought, we might as well make the most of this being wet to actually make a rut to go around this corner. So I got a pickaxe and picked and like basically rotated just one corner of the track. And I thought, fuck me. Anyone that does this all day, every day, once they're looking at.
It's funny.
Like right. You see the dig crew from Diffie or whatever, and you just see all they do is dig all day, every day. And I just think, wow.
No, I think it's quite...
That's admirable, the
I
fact
I think it's nice digging. I get it.
You've like, never done it in your life?
No, I could do it. No, not even joking. No,
he's such a, like, a philosopher, isn't
he? I swear.
He's pondering about something when he can't even understand.
You've never once done that.
When I was a kid, we had a bit of land.
You've had a digger?
You had a bucket, a spade and a beat.
Nah. You've already told me. You've had a digger and you used to have to suck and spit.
But when I was... I had a shovel as well. And when I was a kid, me and my brother, we used to just build BMX jumps all day in our garden. Big jumps. I was actually pretty good, nifty on a BMX back in the day. If I wasn't a motocrosser, I probably would have been pro BMX. I'm not even joking, because that's all I did as a kid, all summer. But then, obviously, motorbikes took over, and then we rode more motorbikes. But I was quite good on BMX.
Yeah, but now when you get back on any form of motorcycle or bicycle, other than enduro or motocross, you're like a fish out of water.
Yeah, no, well, it's just like anything. I don't do it now.
Why don't you get on Matt's bike behind us and give that a spin?
No, I was actually.
People
no
don't know
jokes.
That you guys were at Duffy Bike Park same day as us, though.
Yeah,
2 weeks ago. That was cool.
You
it's not that good. Bad. You both go well.
You transformed Tom. Well, your brother transformed Tommy's day because I kept taking him down all the bad stuff, and then
no, not the bad stuff.
Jono took him.
You were
down.
Going to the top of the hill with a mountain, which is in a cloud every time.
Oh, it was shit hole.
You can start
we're
from
not
halfway,
a shit hole.
The
place wasn't a shit hole, but the weather was bad.
It's terrible.
It was like a rubbish. Different world when you got up the top. At the bottom, it was sort of like little vibe, bit of music, like some hot chocolate.
He really enjoyed.
Top of the mountain, it was
enjoyed
like,
the fire.
Love the calf and the fire.
Really nice fire, yeah.
That day, it was important to have that calf and fire there. Without that, terrible day.
Yeah,
it?
Matt was actually stood with on his ass at the fire, about 2 inches away, ready. Smoking, actually, you were, weren't you? Steaming up.
Yeah.
But that...
You guys can warm your hands up on the exhaust. I know that's so normal to you, but whenever I ride pit bikes in the winter, it's the biggest thing ever.
It's
nice.
No, it is.
You're carrying around a heater all day.
Mm. Sometimes you do it in the gloves mouth.
I actually had that conversation Were you there?
It's a big thing.
I had that conversation with someone. Like, I was.
You're reaching back.
Yeah,
for something
I honestly
hot.
Was.
Ended up tugging off the guy next to me.
Raced around.
Right, I'm going to ask some of these questions off the Instagram. The first one, which I think you've pretty much already answered, Matt, is: are you a YouTuber, a sick on a mountain bike, or a professional mountain bike guy who's pretty big on the tube? And I think the answer is you're pretty sick on a mountain bike and just picked up a camera. Is that right?
This
leads into the next question. How did you meet Ben? And for those that don't know who Ben is, who is Ben to you?
Ben is loads of things to me. He's my best mate. Filmer. He films all my YouTube stuff, edits my videos. We do all that together. He's actually a really good BMXer, as you've claimed, Thomas.
Yeah, no,
I'll ask Ben if he remembers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. I didn't compete. Yeah.
There we go.
I was more like in my garden just busting big stuff.
Just
Instagram on about so I went viral.
Just all for the good vibes. You were just for the good vibes. You weren't in for the
love
seriousness.
The buzz,
yeah.
Yeah, I was just purely for buzz.
He's French. He's in France right now. It's one of the reasons I'm here, because I haven't got him to film. He's my business partner with Hellfair. So I met him because when I started YouTube, I had a friend called Scott who filmed some of the videos.
It's a bit of a weak plug. Do you want to go first? We do firm plugs for merch.
I've got some Hellfair.
I reckon
plug-in.
Ed will line something up.
I'll line that.
Okay. And then it'll do a full 180 and we'll come back to Kex.
Ignore me. I'll just drop back out of it. I was just making sure you knew the score here. Like, we'd fucking give it to them. Like, they leave inspired.
Ready
purchase.
To go.
Yeah.
While we sit here really warm with our DC air conditioning.
Apologies. I'll slip back out there.
Yeah, no, he was Scott's mate, my first filmer. It was Scott's mate. Scott was really into his cars, as is Ben, but wanted to go and shoot cars and videos and photos. And Ben was there one day and I said, do you mind holding this camera? And yeah, we got on and carried on.
Cool.
Yeah, luck, really.
So now he's one half of Hellfair.
Yeah.
And he is everything, really, with you on YouTube, aren't you? You're up to three videos a week.
Yeah, he was
again.
Like just the silent guy behind the camera who laughed, and now we swap loads and he rides, he's getting better. This month we've done three videos a week, which I haven't missed, but it's good.
That's impressive.
Fancy a bit of that, Tommy?
Well, yeah, I could ride three times, but my mate on the camera, all the load would be on him.
If you put as much effort into filming as your logo, you'd probably do all right.
I tell you what, I've been thinking that logo for like 3 weeks now. It's been on my mind. And I've just put it to practice.
He explained it to me over the phone twice. Fucking terrible.
Yeah. No, mate, if you put the one on its side.
Put the one on its side. And
you do zeros as wheels. Think about it, mate. It's a bike.
That's exactly what he told me.
Use the zeros as wheels.
Come on, think about it.
Oh, fucking hell. No, I generally have had that.
They'll love it. You could put it on a pocket square. You can imagine what you can do with it, mate.
Exactly the conversation we had.
It is.
Fucking hell.
This is more
Scott
of a...
Scott Life, that is.
Not really a question, but this is sort of a...
Now I just need to put it on a T-shirt.
Yeah, do it. Right across the back.
Do it like as a Sharpie, like exactly
yeah,
that.
Scan
one.
That
take
in.
Take a picture of that and then turn it into a vector just and then put it on a fucking T-shirt.
And call it 100% shit.
I'm going to scan that.
Short sleeve version. Go on, Ed.
This is a more of a... I don't know if it's a question or not, but we should get Tommy and Billy down to Woburn for a mini bite episode special. But better than that, I'll invite us all. Can we come to your compound instead?
Yeah, compound would be better.
Great idea.
You're definitely good enough to drop in, and if you can do that, you should both flip.
No, I've seen a drop in. That's massive. No way.
Ed did it with flat tyres, man.
And we've all seen Ed's fucking brilliant attempt.
He swan dived off the bike. You were so lucky to make it to the airbag.
Thankfully,
he
swan dived off the bike.
That's the best thing I've ever seen at my compound. He just made it.
I just made the bag.
Got his trick bike out of his trick van and dropped him with two PSI in the tyres. So it was on the rims.
Yeah, but we didn't work that out until you had a go, and then you didn't even make the ramp. You went, what on earth?
Yeah,
are you
doing? I actually stopped, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
But now I've got a jump.
These boys will do it. So Ed's tried.
No.
You'll both be probably off.
I will
do a flip, Bill.
I will put solid money on it that Tommy won't drop in.
Really?
Yeah.
What about if Bill does and does a flip?
No, it wouldn't make a difference.
No, it doesn't make a difference.
But you were pretty good on the BMX back in the day.
He doesn't get hyped up for shit like that. You can't make him excited.
What about on a BMX?
I'm just so bad now.
Think of the positive comments you're going to receive, though. First of all, that's your only chance of got him doing something.
More chance of dropping in on a mat bike.
Really?
No, not
how are you going to get a motorbike up there?
I'd jump the jump on a motorbike, but not from the... Obviously, I wouldn't need the speed. I'd just come in.
Yes,
what bike, when I was doing it on a pit bike,
I see Ricardo doing it on a pit bike.
Yeah. But Ed did it on... what CRF are they called? TTR? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but he... I don't know if he'd pivot on the ramp.
No, I don't think he would.
Because you have to go like ride up the ramp. You have to go back up the road.
I could do that.
Do a foot plant 180.
What, Ricardo done that?
No, we built him a little side chute down the side.
Oh, just do his run.
Yeah. It was good. He did a no-foot can.
I see.
Pretty cool.
I watched the video.
And then went straight to an F1 race.
He did no-foot can and got back to the foot pegs.
Yeah, back on the pegs. And then that's back in a Renault a week later.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Lot of respect for that.
It's good.
I would definitely like a day down there having a rip.
Yeah.
On all forms of bicycle, bike.
Bill's got to go and see a surgeon.
I've got to go and see this. Elbow surgeon again next week.
Why?
I went to see what happened was, I was in Spain and then I hit this door and cut my arm, and then I couldn't get
so hard you got food poisoning.
Basically, I'm actually going to post the GoPro clip of us hitting the door tonight, which I've
write a caption.
I thought I'd refrain
perfectly.
Nah,
the one we just heard.
I'd refrain from doing it. I thought I'll wait until after the race at the weekend. Hopefully it still goes well, and then I can post this video. Thankfully it's all worked out, and the world can see the collision with the door frame tonight. Anyway, back to
wow, you still won.
How many frames, spokes, rims, etc. do you go through in a year?
No frames. No spokes. You kind of snap the odd spoke. Rims, I don't break much stuff. I know you probably think I'm saying that because of sponsors stuff.
You land on an airbag knife.
Yeah, exactly. I ride a lot of whoopee cushions. No, I don't know. The wheels you can straighten if they start to go, so you can bring them back to life. But I am lucky. I think pros, we never ride a bike for more than a year, do we?
Normally
but we
you've
ride
got
them
a colour
harder
way
than a lot, so maybe it averages out. But yeah, I'm lucky. I get a new bike every year. In each category, dirt, jump, enduro. So,
but
just
you actually
about.
Keep them that long, like a year?
Yeah. Unless a new colour comes out.
We fly for them.
Yeah.
We go through probably 10.
Are your bike
10
out?
What?
Bikes.
Yeah.
Specs, though.
It's but different. Downhill
bikes.
Downhill one riders person. Will start on a brand new pair of tyres, new chain. Like, they ride. It's so
yeah,
different.
Yeah, they use wheels
so
a lot,
different.
Though.
New everything every time out, you mean, or every race.
It's like, you guys are in a performance, time-driven sport. And
Peter was telling me...
Down to the...
You've got more than 10 bikes this year.
Nah...
Maybe you don't ride 10 frames in a year.
Maybe spread over
six, I reckon, then
over 300, 450 and a 350. I would still struggle to... I don't do 10 bikes.
At Dixon, we've done more than 10.
We'd 10 do, frames?
Nah.
Yeah, we'd do... sometimes it was like... it's three...
So you'd
three,
have two practice bikes and two race bikes.
Three races on a frame, and then it'd be a new bike. Because the way he done it, he thought new bikes, we had plenty of them, was cheaper than doing parts, so he just... rode a bike, sold it instead of replacing parts.
I hate new bikes.
Honestly, though, it's like a new bike. Yeah, did you say you hate new bikes?
Like
it's the worst. It's like a new pair of trainers.
On an extreme bike, it's not so bad. But on like a super enduro bike, you really, really notice a new bike, and it just bounces off everything so stiff. I just flatland jumps for all morning every time I get a new bike.
My bike feels the best the day before it's absolutely done and can't be ridden again. Like, grips the same. When they're so worn down, the metal's coming through, that's when they feel their best. Do you agree with any of that?
I quite like new grips.
I think it might be a bit of a dirt jump BMX thing.
The problem is with motocross is then when you get... I like to try and keep everything as new because sometimes what we have is we practice on an old bike and we jump
Everyone prefers the practice bike.
Because the team don't want to let your race bike get too old, so... Everything has to try and stay as new as possible. You have that difference, and once you cry when you get to the race.
And a lot of the best dirt jump riders, slopestyle riders, apart from a couple, their bikes aren't that like fresh and tuned up.
And you
heard the old saying, the cobbler always wears the worst shoes. It's like that. When it's your job, you kind of like, I don't know, you sort of give up on your tool.
But yeah, do they ever practice bike and a race bike?
Hey,
do you, in say downhill mountain biking, would they ever practice bike and a race bike?
It's a good question. No, I think they'll spend the race day, the race weekend on their race bike, but they won't take that home and ride every day.
Yes, they get a race bike then.
Yeah.
They must have to day before it, but or a couple of days
I think
before
they
it.
Go bit, through some kit.
I think there's a vast contrast amongst riders, though. I think some of them stress out to the point where they feel like there's too many layers of carbon on a certain part of the frame, and some of them don't give a fuck, it'd be cracked, and they just say, fuck it, it'd be right. But yeah, they go for a lot. I think wheels especially, like sometimes every run... brand new wheel in some tracks. I definitely used to be back.
Bill's a big mountain biker.
Yeah, I'm a big mountain biker.
Bill thinks that when he retires, he's going to take up a career in downhill mountain biking.
It's definitely.
And I spoke to Steve. He's got a lot of confidence. And he actually skipped me. I sort of tried taking the piss out of Bill with Steve. And I was like, he thinks he's a mountain biker, doesn't he? And expected him to say, like, yeah, he's not going to do that. And he was like, well, he's pretty good. And I was like,
He's definitely got some bottle.
Yeah, no, I enjoy
good
it.
Good things to say about you.
Matt.
I just wish I had more time to do it.
I think this would be quite a good question for you. I'm not really sure the answer myself. What's your proudest moment as a mountain biker?
I reckon landing that trick.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sponsored by Red Bull. And you're winning that comp in America, but it's probably landing that weird one. It's probably landing that trick. I've never thought I'd work so hard at anything.
The front and the back.
Yeah, that one.
Back to front.
Back to front.
Back to front.
That flip stop. Yeah, flip to front flip.
Was that more rewarding than just the back?
Oh yeah, yeah. I couldn't. But yeah, yeah. Well, the back flip one. I wasn't as high off the ground. I can't describe it. It was so weird that trick. If everything had to be millimeter perfect, and it never was. So imagine. A trick that backflipped onto the log I did 4 or 5 years ago, and even when I did it, I thought about the front flip, so it's been in my head for years. That took 9 hours of solid goes to do it once, so then that doesn't get easier. So then I realize it's going to be a few hundred backflips before I'm even in the position to then go for the front flip, so it doesn't come around very often. There was like 3 days we'd go back down to Devon to film more. Red Bull would send the film crew, everyone would come, we'd prep the feature, whatever the weather, you know, and then I wouldn't even try one front flip in 3 days. And it probably cost like 20 grand to book all the hotel. You know, I felt such a letdown. So
I can imagine there would have been a time as well where you got it perfect, but you didn't go for it.
And you know everyone's looking at you thinking, well, that's that done for the day.
What a fucking wanker.
Just let that one go. Yeah, I remember that. It stuck in my own head for hours. I listened to the same song for the whole thing. A week, like,
oh, really?
All day, yeah.
They have headphones in while you're doing it.
Yeah, like a heavy metal song. Yeah, I just listened to it. It's 3 minutes long. Invade by the Bronx.
You've done the trick with
earphones in, yeah, because I didn't want to talk to anyone because it was all stressing me out. Remember, I'd press play at like 9 a.m. and the same song would play for hours.
Still listen to it now or not?
No, I can't bear it. It's quite heavy. I was into that stuff then.
That leads on quite nicely to the worst ever mountain bike experience.
I don't know.
Any injuries? Injuries
is a big. I was trying to think of something a bit more. Some of those moments where I'd like be on a perfect run. In fact, my worst mountain bike experience was crashing on the last jump at Crankworx Leger. So I, for the first time ever, felt really confident and in a good spot at Crankworx. I've always wanted a Crankworx podium. That's the biggest slopestyle series of the year, and did like the best run I could ever do. Like, I landed everything perfect. Felt like I went higher than everyone. Had better extension. It was like the dream run. And then I double flip the last jump, double backflip. And I've never in my whole career done double flips in practice. I'll always save it for the run. I think if you're going to land it, you may as well land it in your run. Why would you do a trick in practice that if you crash, you break your back? So I've always saved it for the run.
Lovely.
And I do.
You think there's that much risk to a double backflip?
Yeah, they're gnarly. Yeah, there's been some bad injuries from them. And why would you do more than you have to?
Yeah, I know.
So what I do when I'm going to double flip a jump, I'll flip it 10, 20 times and count one. two in the air out loud, but you can, like, you'll hear me do it, and I'm timing the count so that I land on two, and if I landed a bit after, I'll go again, count it, and I'll do that, like, that morning before the comp, I'll say it so I know how to, hard to pull, and I usually always get perfect. And I remember there was a headwind all day in practice, and that headwind sort of died going into finals, and I went too far, overshot by about 6 foot, and held this manual down the landing.
Oh, I've seen this video, actually. Yeah.
And it looped out, and that cost me, like, I ended up probably last place because it's a crash, isn't it? But I remember thinking that my whole life would have changed if I touched the brake for a hundredth of a second. Wouldn't have gone so deep. I've always thought, like, those tiny, tiny decisions, and it ruined me for 2 years then. I lost my points from Crankworks, couldn't get back in. Managed to get back into Crankworks, and then had a year of, like, blowing out my rear tyre, so I lost it again.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, so that would have made so much difference.
So there's probably a fork in the road where if I touched my rear brake for a hundredth of a second, I'd be maybe sat in a different seat, more lumbar support, I might have bought my own chair. Or I'd be still doing comps and not really loving it and wouldn't have picked up a camera and told my story for YouTube. So every cloud, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? Like,
this split second decision.
Think about, like, Romania, for example. You do 30 hours worth of riding in 5 days or whatever it is, and you just think the amount of minuscule split second things that have happened in a day is just, like,
that determine a big outcome.
That have got, like, massive swings either way, like, such big.
They call it the butterfly effect, don't they? If a butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the earth, it's felt all around. Like, think the knock on effect of stuff. That's like. It's a philosophical thing there.
I've not heard that one, but it is fucking mad. The amount of, even in a motocross race, like,
so in, like, motocross career, because say my one thing would be like, I went to America, but then if I didn't,
but that's
go,
not exactly a split second decision,
like,
is it?
No, I mean, like, an injury, split second injury.
Yeah, that's like a
which what he's saying, split second crash, Bill.
Split second.
No, he's saying a split second decision of not pressing his brake for long enough.
Yeah, but then he crashed. Split second.
Yeah, but we're on about the minuscule things, not just fucking
but
going
then he
to
crashed.
America.
Let's hear it. Come
okay,
on.
Come
just
on.
Saying, yeah, Bill, don't let me finish. A lot of people say that.
Yeah, because I already know that
time.
Whatever's going to spiel out next is just
it's not.
Garbage.
It's quite serious because split second thing. You have one crash when I was in America, and then I got injured from the crash. So then you didn't sign a contract the following year, which I ended up back in the World Championship, and then now you're here. Where if I didn't get an injury, so split second of crashing, then you end up doing well in America, staying in America. So, like, one small thing changes your career path, which is exactly what you said.
He's done a good job there, Bill.
Okay. Well,
no, exactly.
Okay,
I have more stories like
my
that.
My counter argument would be what was the split second thing would have been, what was the cause of the crash?
The split second thing is the cause of the crash in the point that I'm making is first race at Hangtown in 2010, I got. Passed first moto with half a lap to go. Poor sale, finished second. Second moto, I got hit on the start. My gear lever was bent in. I was stuck in third gear. I then crashed because I couldn't change. Landed on my shoulder and then sat out the whole season in America.
Okay, so that's how long your shoulder's been injured for?
No, that was my riot. But that's a split session
so
decision.
So
again, another good
decision.
Answer, Bill. Just calm down. Just
next
time.
I feel like I've navigated you into the good answer. Well, I think it was a team effort.
No, I just selling my side. The split second makes a big difference. I could still be in America.
Yeah,
could be here.
Yeah, but imagine if you didn't go, you could have been a world champion.
Yeah, exactly. There's just
Jeffrey Earlins.
So many things
could have been.
No, because he
nothing
was way
compared to
no,
Thomas
he
Hill.
Was way. He was way after. So actually, the year I went to America, Bill, you were still a little nipper.
Who won the next year?
Marvin Musquin.
Marvin Musquin.
And he missed a round and he started
so
on a Honda.
Marvin Musquin never might have ended up in America if he would have not gone
the
to
the year
America.
Before Musquin won and I went to America, I went 1-1 at the last round and lapped Musquin in both races. And the following year, he won the World Championship with missing two rounds and switching a bike.
Katie. Some people don't come back through those. It's definitely shaped me as a person, like those massive setbacks, dealing with them.
Mm. No, it does. Makes a big difference.
Some people have a bad year and you don't see them again in sport, do you?
Yeah, like one career thing can mess their head up hugely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been riders that have disappeared from Slopestyle and you think they just kind of had a bit of bad luck and they probably could have turned it around, but
just didn't stick with it.
You see it in motocross all the time.
Yeah, those things definitely keep you up at night. It sounds exaggerated, doesn't it? But thinking what if. The what ifs in sport are insane.
At the time, at the time when you have one of them moments, you just think it. Everything's never going to be better.
Do you know what we always look at on the flip side of it is what me and Tommy said quite a bit now, like, also at the same time, no one cares. Like, you go to a GP, someone wins, the race is over, and then you got 15th. No one really gives a fuck.
No, apart from you.
Yeah, like...
And then you next week, you do it all again.
Yeah.
But then an injury, like, you just... Oh, it's just... I've had it so many times in my career. Everything's about the motocross your whole life, and you just think it's over, and you're every day trying to get better, but you think you're not going to sign a contract, especially if you're in a contract year. You just think, and then you try harder, and you get more setbacks. Yeah. Difficult.
Second time, I shattered my wrist, but like the story I said, when I got sponsored by Red Bull, and then at my second ever Crankworx in Rotorua, the one in New Zealand, it's always when I've been going my best in my career that it's all come to a complete halt. I tried to 720 a jump, which isn't 720-able, it was way too big. But I was like having a mad moment in practice. I felt like I was winning practice.
Just for why would it be too big? Would you spin too much?
It's like it was too fast. You took off at 30 mile an hour. I remember we got speed gun, and that's a fast jump. And to generate a carve, well, people do cork 720s now on the big jumps, which is a 360 backflip. But like one of those flat spins, it's too fast. Well, your wheels are spinning too fast to make, the gyroscopic effect. There's loads of reasons.
Okay.
Maybe one day
that was a bit more technical than I was expecting. I was just trying to give the non-mountain bikers a bit of context, but I think they've all just fell off their seats. But anyway.
I mean, maybe someone would have done it, but it wasn't surprising that I crashed. And my mum and dad had flown out to New Zealand to like get involved and watch. And I remember like crashing down this landing, hitting my head a bit, and looking at my wrist, and the bone was like poking up. And I remember, like, I covered it with my cuff, got on my bike, like, sat on it, held the bars, and rode down the side of the course, like, pretending myself it was fine. I remember thinking, like, I'll be able to get away with this. Like, I won't tell Red Bull.
Everyone just the same minute, you're just going...
And I went and sat next to my dad, white as a sheet, and he was like, "What, mate?" I said, I reckon I broke my wrist, Dad. And I showed him, and he's a bit like me, he just went... Yeah, it's broken, isn't it?
And we like sort of stared
off into the distance. I remember thinking, I'm not going to be able to get away with this. I'm going to have to tell everyone.
I remember I broke my wrist once riding trials, and I came back to the van. It was after just a local club trial, I broke my wrist. Anyway, I came back to the van, parked my bike up, got in the back of the van. We're going home. Yeah, sat in the back of the van because I didn't like want to see my dad around. I sat in the back of the van. I remember I had a watch on at the time, and I was just going... This hurts. I remember I took the watch off and it just went boom. Oh no.
Yeah.
And then I still didn't tell him all the way home, got home, went straight up to bed, like straight into my bedroom, waited a few hours and come downstairs and I said to my mum, "I've hurt my wrist.
I've done the same.
I think I need to go to hospital."
I done it in
got
my
Got took to hospital and then it was broke. And then in the end, fuck, like, no one actually cares. I was only like 12 as well at the time, so it wasn't like I was missing a world championship or something.
I done it, and that could have been the end of my mountain bike career where it all went wrong, because I was going to race British Championship, leading the British Championship in the 125s.
Mountain bike, you said mountain
bike. No, yeah, I know, but listen. I know you're doing a Billy Bolt. Camper was all loaded up, because on Friday before, Dad had come back from work, everything was loaded in motocross. You get a big camper as a kid. All loaded up, and I had these BMX jumps in the garden, and I think it was on a mountain bike that day. And then it was like, you come down this little section, drop down. There was 1, 2, 4 big doubles. Got bigger as it went on. Anyway, I got to the last one. I've just dropped the front a bit early on my mountain bike. And then I've gone over the handlebars, put my wrist down, broke my wrist. But camper's all loaded anyway, so I've ran up. If you put your hand in hot water in a bath, it makes it feel better, doesn't it? Like every injury feels better in a bath.
Yeah.
So I've gone up, had a bath, got all the dirt off my face, got in the camper, climbed up to the bed, the front bunk, crying and that, but Dad still hadn't seen me. He's like, "I've just got in." I'm like, "I'm ready to go, get to the race, go out in the morning and tell him can't ride round, I broke my wrist." And then my dad never really said a lot anyway.
Funny, we're all the same.
Everyone's the same. Yeah. And I've just actually thought, I did it as well. I was at a European Championship in Norway, and then there was one the next weekend in Sweden, and we were in a camper, and I remember it was we stayed over at where the Norway one was to just practice through the week or whatever, and it pissed down all afternoon. And no one was out riding or whatever, and I was just bored. So I'm going riding, and everyone was like, "Oh, what are you doing that for? Are you going to get your bike dirty?" And did this like 2 steps in a row, which I'd done for the last few days anyway in the dry, and was slippy, spun, crashed. And I remember like my elbow went to the ground, and my hand was still on the handlebar, and it just crunched it back. And that was exactly the same. Instantly knew, I was like, "Oh no, I'm in trouble here." Went back to the camper, parked the bike up, got changed, hid in the bed for a little bit, come out a few hours later, just going...
You just feel like a tit.
Yeah.
I've got
just
a story going, that I've could got trump
a
all of that.
Fucking really serious.
What?
I've got a story.
I think I know it, but...
I've got a story similar, but a lot more, a lot better. I also did something similar at a place called Polesworth on an 85, and I didn't want to ride. I didn't like the track. So I rode past pit lane with the kill switch on, and my bike was going ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then I came back, and my dad stripped the whole bike, and I thought, nothing wrong with that bike, mate. I'm just being a little bitch.
Oh, no. What a fucking gimpy world.
What I mean.
I've lost an incredible amount of respect for you.
Yeah,
right,
probably
now.
Have. A lot of the viewers probably have as well. But then, yeah, that was because I didn't like motocross. Enduro, I don't mind enduro.
Right, just feel the pressure on that day and you just thought...
I was going up the big hills, I was pretty shit. I was on a small wheel 85, it was my second ever race, and I just thought, I fucking hate this. So I just banged the kill switch on and just was a proper pussy. But
yeah, injuries, it's so funny that everyone just
I've never done that, actually. I never made out there's a bike problem.
No, I don't think I have, to be honest.
My parents never, like, pushed me to do mountain biking. They kind of probably were just like, I'll go on then. So it's not like getting injured was going to, they were going to be let down. No, I distinctly remember lying about hurt myself. When I broke my ankle, I knew I'd broken it when I did it. And then I rode back to the car. That's my
you
old
have to ride
dealer.
Back, don't you?
That was bad. And I had my ankle hanging off the side of the bike. You mean like you've got to try and push it to the limit? Well, I can ride on this thing.
No, but even like any crash, I always think I need to just ride a little bit. I did my wrist before super in it. The second I saw on the super enduro a couple of years ago, and it hurt, but I felt like this hurts. But I think I'm going to be all right for the weekend. It was like the Wednesday or whatever. But I still went back out onto the track and purposely did a full lap and hit the jump I'd just crashed on. Just did one lap, but like. That hurts, but I can ride. And put the bike in the van and went home.
I caught my ankle on a tree stump rolling back to the car and it went span 180.
Oh, I mean.
And I still remember walking into dinner and trying to like do normal steps when I got home for tea because I was scared. My mum would say,
Do
you need a lift to hospital? Like, what is the consequence? Yeah, nothing, no, is there?
My mum
Why do we waste the time?
Similar to yours, they never... We didn't know about motocross as a career. My dad or mum never, obviously mum never done it, but dad never was into bikes. So it was like, we never knew it. So there was never any pressure. It's not like someone now that's...
I can understand why you wouldn't want to tell your mum or your dad you've hurt yourself because they're going to be like cross that you're not going to finish a series.
No, my mum and dad was never like that. But it's always the same now even. You don't want to call your team manager and tell them you're injured or...
No. Yeah, I got told off at the weekend because I didn't tell... Stan told the team manager I was having surgery and I didn't any tools off.
Do you boys have anything in your contract to say you can't do other sports? I guess yours is dangerous enough.
Proper yeah, they, no, they do.
Yeah,
they do.
Mine's got a few things in.
Skiing was in my... I don't think mine is now.
So there's another question then, Matt. And Billy will probably be able to join in this because...
He joins in them all, so... Yeah.
No, he does, but it's about...
Stop giving them ammunition to give a shit in the comments.
You definitely won't be able to join in because is this going to go clean over your head?
Mm.
It says opinions about Kieran Riley.
Oh, yeah. BMX lad. Are you from proper Newcastle?
Yeah, of course I'm from proper Newcastle.
Yeah, but his accent's stronger than yours. I can understand you. Okay.
No, this is what happens. When a Newcastle Toonian gets talking to another one, you can't hear a word.
Yeah, Kieran said this. Yeah, Kieran's if anyone doesn't know, he's a Geordie, real, like, super talented BMX. He got sponsored by Red Bull this year. He came to my compound twice, and both times did insane tricks. He landed a 720 double tail up to bar spin, which no one's ever done.
Me and Ed watched it last night.
Yeah, how cool.
I've never actually met him. I've met Ollie, the guy that films
him.
He's
half the height of you. Belly button.
That's what I said when Ed put it on. Like, I followed him.
But it seems to work.
Since he was, really young, probably, 13 or something, because he was always, a little kid posting sick videos or whatever, and, like, as a local lad or whatever, I was kind of...
I asked him if he wanted had kex, that, and he said no.
I remember that. We kind of had that link, and then... And I've watched his videos and stuff before, and I never really noticed, but I watched yours, and last night with Ed, sat there, and you've seen him, stood next to Cade. Obviously, I've met Cade a few times, and I just went, fuck me, he's small in real life. Like,
yeah, it works for like, some reason. So good at spinning.
I'd never picked up on it, but
It's not like a derogatory thing, it's just interesting,
yeah,
isn't it?
Like
in sport, people are often tall or...
I can see why it works because he's always been spun fast. I can remember. Since
what impressed me most is no matter how late he bails or crashes or what position he gets in on my airbag, he'll always end up on his bum or back. Like,
really?
Even if that far from it, he's head first, he'll just do this weird spin and he'll find it. He knocks it on trampolining or something.
He lands well from a bear.
Yeah, he can learn a trick guaranteed in a day because he can try it as many times as he wants. It won't hurt him.
Yeah.
There's a perception of the airbag's safe, but that you can hurt yourself.
You can get right spot of bother on it. Yeah.
No, but he's a savage, to be fair.
He is.
My accent's got a bit fucked. I've just spent that long travelling different places since I was a kid. Obviously,
when you ring your
South
dad.
African, but yeah, Ed fucking loves it when my dad phones us.
When he rings his dad or someone from near him, you just think, what on earth have you just said on the phone to him? Like, you cannot understand him.
Yeah, I don't like it when people say my accent's gone muddled. But at the same time, it's just easier than ever going, what? You what? Like, just constantly repeating yourself. But
you can't go full Newcastle.
When I go home, fucking comes out proper like.
There's a question here where it's, how did Matt meet Bill? But they met about an hour ago.
Yeah, about an hour ago.
Come through that door.
I can't remember my first kind of your videos I actually watched or when I first discovered it. It was a while ago, but I can't quite think when it would have been, to be honest. Normally.
Very memorable, clearly.
Yeah, it was. I remember Tom from back in his KTM days with his blue Alpine Stars kit.
You don't. You said that on another episode.
I do. Fucking.
Remember.
That's my.
Oh yeah. Sorry, you did say that was your.
That's
your
like
one
my first time. I can obviously it was on TV, but I remember Tommy Searle. You were reading Dirt Bike Rider or whatever. That yeah, it was blue Alpine Stars kit with on your KTM. But yours, I can't quite figure when that'll be in it.
You're checking out a YouTube channel. Let's have a look.
He's just had a video go live 16 minutes ago.
Yeah, I want to put...
Did you schedule mine?
Yeah. I want to put
No,
poster.
I'll put yours out now.
Oh, fuck, he forgot yours.
Fucking hell.
I'll do it right now. I wanted you to check it first.
I did check it. There was one bit you didn't... Where I said, I'll put that clip in now. It's not there, but I don't really care.
Okay.
Well, doesn't matter. Put it on.
Why don't you answer this question while I put it on? It says, who do you look up to more, Billy, Ed or Tommy?
Me, I'm the tallest.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, physically, Bill. I don't know. You, Ed.
Send
me a picture, please.
You guys would be lost without Edward, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Bill would survive better than I would.
Earlier on, I was chatting to Ed, and you just look up from your phone and go, "We got that video going live tonight." Ed went, "Yep." You got a photo of anything I can post to go with it? Yeah. Can you send that my way and I'll post it? Yeah.
What
caption for it, Ed? Yeah, Todd. Do you need the passwords?
I don't even get involved.
What
now.
Do you reckon is the most contribution Tommy's ever done to one of his videos, Ed? Like, as a percentage wise?
What's the most contribution
he's ever give? Like, obviously, they're about him, so you've got to give him a certain amount of percentage because
the early ones.
It's his name and he's talking and stuff, but the early ones were very narrated just to say this, say that, do this. You've got the spiel
Ed
now.
Could basically just put them out now. Like, anything.
What do you want on a title, by the way, quickly? Super Enduro round one.
Super Enduro.
I did a win.
Round one, I did a win. No, I do.
Right, there we go.
Wonderful.
Bear with.
Polish fans like it.
Is this how unpolished you are at YouTube? Or are you a bit more polished? Because we're fucking rough at it.
Nah, you're good
similar.
It's all a bit, you're winging it all the way.
You've got to write something and press go, haven't you? You've got to say something.
At the end of the day, anything's better than nothing, can it?
Yeah. And that's literally the philosophy. Some videos you don't give two shits about and you think, well, no, that's not true, but you don't, like, you're not passionate about the story. You just see what happens. You're going to press record, we're at a bike park, enough's enough, this will be good. Some of them, you start planning weeks in advance, you book flights, you do it all, you think this is going to be the best video, it's all going to... And the one you weren't interested
exactly.
in...
Exactly. And like also, even when just editing it, you're like, you've thought about the whole video, that's going to lead into that, I'm going to do this transition, I'm going to make a time lapse here, spend hours and hours doing it, and then no one gives a shit, whereas you post a GoPro, a continuous 15-minute GoPro clip, and they just go, wow, that's amazing.
And it's because we all live and breathe these sports and this lifestyle, and it's all we know and understand, so we can't see it through someone else's lens. So what we think is a good, exciting, different day isn't. It's just unusual for us, but to the person who's watching it and all those people...
Yeah,
they like what you're doing.
Wow. The opposite.
I put your video out 1 minute ago, and the first part of it was the giveaway, and it... All it is Billy win, Billy win, Billy win.
That was very clever when
you
I
did
see
that at the start of the video.
Yeah. So now
I wonder if they'll watch the rest.
That was
it's a good video.
If it was a good vid, then you're fine.
I used my noggin.
It was clever with that one. I'm pleased I left you in charge to finish it, to be honest. That worked out quite well.
Yeah, that was our first collab edit. Billy started it, I finished it.
First, you've done loads of them, haven't you?
What are we giving away today?
I bladed it.
Gazebo.
Up.
Oh yeah, Giza Uber. How
in my vlog, there's a
they just have to comment on this video.
I'm giving away a number board that says 57 with a 1 in front of it. If you watch the vlog, you get the gist. But I had to sign a load of them to give out for people at the factory, and I stole one and said I'm going to give this away in the vlog. So then I brought it home. And if you want to win that, you can go and watch my video and subscribe while you're there.
Have you sent one or not?
No, it's on Lightroom still.
Have you on your trials bike?
He's even giving it, putting it through Lightroom, Tom.
What's Lightroom?
Talk us through a little bit more YouTube, because I think it's quite an interesting story for these two boys. You and Ben, do you concept a few things or contracted to do anything?
No contracts.
Do you think things work better than others?
We've had a month off, we've had a week off. Like, sometimes we'll do 4 videos in a week. There's nothing, there's no agreement, there's no formula. But I've definitely learned that you shouldn't force it. Like, right, last month I've done 3 videos a week, and that meant driving around, building stuff, doing a lot. But I'd never do 3 videos in a week if number 3 was definitely going to be shit. I just wouldn't. I've learned, like, if you've got an inkling, like when we meet up and we film and Ben gets the camera out, I sometimes say to him, this is going to be a rubbish video, and then we'll go home.
Mm. What, and you don't even do it?
Yeah, we don't. I don't want to put out. How many bad videos are you going to put out until people say...
Bill's done, like, fucking low.
This is what I was saying. I have watched your channel, Billy, and I'm thinking you need to hear this.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting us know.
Bill's come up on repeat because Alf likes watching GoPros now. So there's one Bill does, it's 50 minutes GoPro through the Sea to Sky. And I know the race now because I've watched it. It's been on like 4 times, and it's 50 minutes GoPro. A different sport. Enduro riders really like watching the GoPro.
Yeah, well, to me, I would never sit and watch 50 minutes GoPro, but then you look at, like, Mario's channel, there's videos that are, like, 400,000 views of an hour long of GoPro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I would never sit and watch it, but at the same time, I feel like Graham's got millions on videos that are 2 hours of just GoPro.
They're the sorts of videos, if you go for, like, a beer in Albania, it'll be on in a bar.
Yeah, well, I went...
Loop. It's true, isn't it?
Bit less bizarre, but, like, I went to a motorbike shop the other day, and there's got like a TV screen in there, and Graham's GoPro on from Tong a couple of years ago was on there, and like I would never sit and watch it on YouTube, but it was on, and I'm like, fuck me, I'm sat entertained by this, like the track looks quite good, that was a good move, and like, so I guess someone has a use for it. That's why I just think anything is better than nothing at the end of the day. Like,
we're multitasking here. Let's see if he's happy with this picture I've sent him.
Dick. Yeah, I'll do it.
Give her a bit of the...
Is that a main?
Yeah, well, either one, however you want it.
Tell her how the trials day went, Tommy. That's what's just come out on Tommy's channel now, by the way. Tommy went trials riding, which I'm very pleased I wasn't in attendance for, because I think I'd have been irritated from start to finish.
Yeah, you would have hated me on my trials. Anyone who's watched the vlog...
Why don't you do that quickly, because you...
No, I can do both.
Well, go on then.
Anyone who watched the vlog... Oh, I can't do
that. I was going to say, that was very ambitious.
Let me just copy and paste. I can't multitask. Just
put the link on it.
No, you carry on, you boys. I'm sure.
Well, you're meant to be talking about your trials day.
Just carry on with your trials day, and then I'll carry on.
Now, let's talk about Matt's motorcycle experience. Other than KLX 110s.
I just like pit bikes.
Is that all you like? Have you ever ridden a motocross?
Yeah, I had a... An RMZ with a 4-stroke Yamaha be an RMZ? Suzuki. It was yellow.
Suzuki.
An RMZ. See, I'm already expressing my lack of knowledge. I had one of them, a 2011. So someone told me that's good because it's fuel injected.
2011, fuel injected Yam. I don't think it would have been for 2011.
Not why. RMZ.
2011 yellow. Seems a long time ago to be fuel injected. We need Bill for his master. Don't worry about the door, Bill.
I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway, it was cool. And I went to a few tracks and I really liked it. I actually loved it. But it's so hard. It's so physical. Yeah, I was riding my bike a lot, my push bike, and I had no strength or the right muscles for that sport.
Don't you find, though...
But it's a lot of admin, motocross.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe how much effort it takes to just... on a bike on a track.
Yeah.
Like, you had to get up at 5:30 in the morning. It felt like at 10 a.m. I might have a chance of doing one lap, then getting arm pump. Then I miss the rest of the 20 minutes that my group are allocated. And then I watch kids go out, good guys go out, and then I get my chance again, get arm pump, can't ride.
Load it all back in the van and then go and do hours of jet washing.
You actually used to go to practice tracks and ride?
Yeah. I did a bit of it.
Sorry, I was
like at Chippenham. Is it Wild Tracks? Yeah. Chippenham, I went there, Mildenhall, a few others. For a maybe 18 months. And then KTM, weirdly, because I guess I started getting a few followers on Instagram, gave me a brand new 250F.
Oh, bloody hell.
Would you call it a 250F four stroke?
Yeah.
And I preferred this, my yellow one. I don't know why. It was too good. It was like so new and fast. And
oh, you really like the old hanging bike.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you had a Suzuki 250F.
Maybe I just used to it, yeah. Yeah,
Ali Freeman, I mean, it was amazing. Must have been the difference.
I think I was scared to crash it and break it too, but yeah, it wasn't mine. I liked having my own motocross bike. It was a cool thing to have. But then you've got to pull over, you load the van, you've got to pull over, get it out, pressure wash it, because I didn't have a pressure wash at home at Shell, put 40 quid through one of them.
A lot of more maintenance involved in motocross bikes, to be fair.
Yeah,
mountain bikes are the best for that.
To Dovey, Diffie, whatever it's called. We went there, obviously, when you were there, that muddy day. Come home. Quick jet wash, bikes are done. Lovely jubbly.
Yeah, but you've got, yeah, once you, it's, I guess, once you're set up.
But yeah, but if you was, if that was motocross, you'd be jet washing.
Oh, but then you've got oil filter and that stuff.
Yeah, mountain bikes are considerably less.
But the next level is you could have a horse and then you've got to clean it out, feed it.
Mm. Yeah, fuck horses.
Yeah,
I've started riding horses this year. It's good crack.
Hard work.
Oh, no way.
It's hard work.
My sister used to have horses. Fuck that.
And I won't let anyone say, I bet it's easy, that the horse does all the work.
No, I've tried to
just the riding.
Oh, it's so hard.
I've tried to jump a horse once because, well, I had a ride on it and I said, I want to do a jump. So I was getting, the person was pulling us along on the reins and said, just the horse will do it. And it would just stop every time. And the physical strength that just stay on the fucking thing after
exactly.
It.
Exactly. You ride a powerful motocross.
Hit brakes and I'm going, okay, hell. And then eventually the one time it did jump over, I fucking shit myself
it's
when
so
it took
gnarly.
Off. It's fucking.
I've
the
never
jump,
rode one.
It's gnarly.
The jump wasn't even 2 foot high.
My sister had them and I'd refuse to get on one.
Stupid things. Don't
the
lie.
The thought of not being in control. I don't even like roller coasters. Not even joking. I think don't ride roller coasters because you're just not in control.
Right.
Or trials bikes.
I'm gonna
get on a plane.
What about airplanes or buses?
Several times a year.
Nah, a pair of planes, all right.
Because you're in full control of that, aren't you?
Go on, Ed. Down.
I'm going to revert to a couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up because I know you've got to get on your way, Matt. They want to know what's happened to the Stink E.
Oh, that electric hanging bike. Yeah, I must have a thing for hanging bikes.
Yeah, your KLX is like hanging as
pogo
well.
Stick. Yeah,
I enjoy shit like that. I like riding fucking bits as a mongrel.
Yeah, it's funny. A mate sent me that. We were in a WhatsApp group and someone said, look at this bike, it's horrendous. And everyone's just laughing at it. And then, yeah, I, like behind everyone's back, went and bought it.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. It was 1,100 quid.
Was it?
Seemed like such a good idea at the time. And the bloke who sold it to me was quite proud of it.
And he'd made it himself, hadn't he? Or
yeah, he's like a battery engineer at Oxford Uni. Real clever American guy who weirdly texted me last week saying, how are you getting on with the e-bike?
No way.
Oh, you've got to get him on the channel. Imagine getting him on, talking him through.
Does he know like about the channel?
He must do. And if he does, because why would he text? I don't know. Maybe he's seen it and he's like, I'm going to send him an innocent text. How are you getting on with it?
Yeah, it's a piece of shit and it don't work.
What, you've slagged it off on your channel?
Well, it doesn't need slagging off. It's an unreal monstrosity. But it's for insane comedic value. And
can you jump stuff on it?
Well,
boy, it crabs up. It's so much flex in it. It like crabs up a takeoff. So you can't. You could point it exactly straight up a lip, but you cannot guarantee.
This is such a good video.
What, 20
Jono.
Square
yeah.
feet?
Oh, I've watched
Jono's
that video.
A good one, yeah,
it's absolute random where you land. Yeah, and Jono like tried to steer left on it, and it went right into the trees.
No, I have watched that.
And
one.
That's
that
a genuine. He was giving it his best,
and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's rear wheel steer that's unknown.
That's mean.
Rear wheel steer.
That is mint.
You're scrolling a lot. Are there that many questions?
There's so many. There's also one.
Massive.
Go us.
Popular.
There's one here from Ben Grist. I don't know if you know him, but he says, how's it feel to work with Benjamin Grist? Does he feel lucky?
We've already touched
does
on
Ben
that.
Ben feel lucky?
You've
yeah, he's
right
having
up,
a,
or do I feel lucky?
No, he's having a plug. I tell you what, talking
the
of plugs.
Guy ever.
Let's have a plug slash talk to us about how Hellfare came along, how it started, how you do it, how you manage it. How many orders you have to pack? Because that's a job and a half.
Yeah, you all know that with Keks.
It's painful.
We started in 2019 as a clothing brand only. But when I say clothing, I mean it's very much morphed into a mountain bike apparel brand. But it was t-shirts, hoodies. We just wanted to. Ben's a businessman. He had a watch company when he was younger. That was his first like entrepreneurial thing when he left school. And I was riding bikes. And he told me about the watch thing, and I was well interested in it. I even thought about doing something similar myself, but he kind of told me, Matt, everything you do is fairly uncool. So if you're gonna start a brand, I'll happily help. And he actually, the name Hellfare, Ben already had, And he had the Instagram handle and healthfare.com.
Oh, wow. It was a big part.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, which is undeniably a huge part. And I loved the name. Like, I was so into it. I thought we could do anything with that. We could mold it, shape it. It's not a word in the dictionary. Even having a word that's not a word will rank higher on Google. There were so many benefits to it. Mm-hmm. And I, like, really said we should run with this. And we actually took ages then to do anything proper. But it was at the point we decided, I'm a mountain biker. Let's make it a mountain bike apparel brand. And Ben actually wasn't that keen on that. I think he had a vision of it being, like, purely casual and almost fashion, which I get. But I think we're both so stoked that we've like put it anchored it to a niche and like this industry where people enjoy my videos that we make together, and then we've got the clothing brand that we do together, and it all feeds into the same like rad thing. But it's been busy the last year. We've had some massive nights where we drop a whole range of stuff, and we've done like thousands of orders in one evening, and then we've got to get them out within 3 days.
Yeah, it's good. It's impressive. Very impressive. Night.
And it's just me, Ben, and Ben's younger brother, Tom, that do it. So when the three of us are packing orders, listening to like 3-hour-long drum and bass mixes, you get through them, but there's no shortcuts, is there? You still have to go and get a hoodie and a jersey and a beanie, check the sizes, check the colours, put them in a bag, sign the cards.
Yeah, I did that with Tommy. Tommy helped me pack some orders and fuck quite a lot of them up, so he's now been fired.
No, not allowed. Not allowed in the stock room now.
So yeah, that was similar.
But
it's cool. I've loved it.
We're both sat there saying, "Tommy, you're not doing this properly. Please pay more attention." No, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And then, lo and behold, of the 10 orders he packed, 6 of them or 8 of them.
Yeah, we was actually filming the order.
Literally stood there,
have a video of it,
watching him go. You're not doing it. You're not doing it right. You're not actually checking them. And he's going, "Yeah, I am."
I thought I was trying.
My brother said to me,
easy to make a mistake.
About a year ago, he said, "Matt, I remember when you and Ben started Healthfare, you saying to me, so I said to him that, how did I word it? Apparently I said, "I can't wait one day I can't imagine the feeling of seeing someone wearing your product who you don't know."
Mm.
And I remember the first time it happened, I was at a bike park and someone had a green Healthfare jersey on. I had no idea who they are, and it was really, really
cool. It's cool, isn't it? Yeah. I've seen that at some of the races when people wear Kecks, though.
Yeah.
And just think,
it's amazing.
But yeah, it's definitely good. So what's the end goal or the next goal with Healthfare?
Keep going with the mountain bike stuff. We're doing trousers, which we spent months and months on. I reckon they'll be available March time. Gloves, just the full, keep it like that. And then with our casual stuff, hoodies and things, we're going to put more time. Well, we are putting loads more time into it, but make it all cooler, better fit, everything. We're working flat out.
And that is to be just sold only by you, or are you going to stock it in shops, or...?
We'll probably stay direct.
Yeah,
I'm part of Brink Bike Shop. We're going to get some in there so that people can see it on hangers and try it on. That's pretty cool. I think there's a massive benefit to that. And touch and feel. It's all tactile products, isn't it? And we've got a new sponsorship signing start of January.
That was the question, actually.
Oh, really? I'm not going to disclose it because it's such massive news. I'm going to save that for my podcast.
Is it actually
it's not Tommy's service.
Is it a big...
Is it a racer? Is it a...
Racer slash... Yeah, quite close to home, actually, he is.
I think I can guess.
Fair enough.
Can you?
Is he a Jones?
No, he's giving it away.
Could be. No, we're doing loads of stuff next year.
Cool. Well, that'll be exciting. And if any one of our viewers that haven't heard of you, which obviously will because he's a massive name, where do they go and get all this apparel?
Healthfare.com.
Which is spelt...
H-E-L-F-A-R-E. Can I, says it on my hoodie here.
Yeah.
Can I plug these?
Yeah, you can also plug them.
So me and Edward have known each other a while, and I've been aware of Kecks, and we talk a lot of business stuff. We compare Healthfare and Kecks, similar age companies, similar target audience, we buy from the same part of the world, we do it all in the same way. Yeah, and we've come up with a signature pair of Matt Jones pants.
Let me have a look.
Yeah, we've got a Matt Jones pair of pants that are coming out on Kecks at some point.
Which... You sold straight away on the idea of the bullseye on the croc.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. I like them.
There they are.
So this pair here is meant to match Matt's jump bike colour scheme and Matt's...
It was for the Design and Conquer one, wasn't it? That green.
Yeah.
There's a bullseye smack bang in the middle there.
That was all he said.
When you fill them out well, it lines up. And then I said to Ed, "Should we put bullseye on the back as well?" And you said, "No, you should probably leave that."
I said,
"Yeah." It's got an MJ down there, which is the same MJ as on my helmet. Is there one on this? Let's look.
What's MJ stand for?
So yeah, everything matches up.
There we go.
So
is that trick? I can't tell you if it's a trick question, MJ.
You can never tell with him if it's a trick question. He's just a
I'm a logo.
He's a fucking idiot.
To be fair,
they're cool, aren't they? When are they coming out, Ed?
Think, what is the logo?
They are going to come out.
Should we do it like next week or soon? After Christmas? Before Christmas?
I think after Christmas we'll do them. Because we've got to get Billy's merchandise drop out of the way.
That's coming very soon.
I like the colours.
I'd imagine about similar time as podcasts.
Well, actually, your BB57 pair of pants is getting launched as well because you've got your own pair of kicks. That's coming with my merch. That's coming with your merch.
Oh, big week for Bill then. We're fucking big rolling week. It in for Christmas.
I need merch. Anyone listens to this wants to design me a logo and to put on my merch. Just write in the comments and just hit me up. Send me a logo or something. Not a shit one.
He's feeling so
just
left
everyone's
out.
Got merch.
He's
Ed's feelings. Got kicks. Bill's got BB. Matt's got MJ.
What about your sticker company? Get that plugged on.
Nah, back your backyard. You can design some stickers, but I want some merch, really.
My sister actually needs some new stickers. She had a rear fender snap.
You're joking?
Yeah, my dad's phoned us three times in the last week.
I'll tell you what, they're that good. She could probably peel it off her old one and stick it on the new one.
But I think what's happened is it's peeled off and it's got shit on it, so only half of it's going to stick. So my sister needs a new one. Is that possible? Do we have budget?
No, we have budget. Yeah, there's plenty. I need riders, actually, to wear the product. Okay. To use the product, so there's budget.
That's good.
I'll just use your link and get some new ones sent right out.
Why don't you make Matt a nice set for his with Hellfire on for his mini bike?
Yeah, I can do that. That's nice.
KLX 110 Hellfire backyard design.
It's good, yeah.
Go on, lad.
Or please. Matt could design them himself due to the online configurator.
Yeah, the online configurator is quite good. You can design them yourself. But less about that.
Must remember.
Right, well, let's wrap this up. Yeah, I think we'll wrap that up. The giveaway from Fat Jimmy's Racing, we've decided it's going to be a gazebo, which will hopefully benefit some mountain bikers, and it'd be cool if a mountain biker wins that. So all you got to do is comment on this YouTube video.
Fuck him. I hope an enduro rider wins.
I don't know what you should comment.
Team enduro.
Comment something.
Matt's had enough. He's doing a Tommy.
Yeah, Matt's off.
Where did you get your shoes?
From the shop.
Matt's worse than me. He's up and out
of it.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah, Matt's gone. Right, anyway, thanks very much for watching this one. Stay tuned for everything Hellfire, Kecks, Factory Image Racing, Backyard Design.
Bullseye Pants.
And we will see you on the Christmas special.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.